Every podcast topic is crafted and led with the thought of you in mind. And just like this podcast, I also have a published book. It's called Without Ruin, Pearls of Wisdom for the Triumphant Woman. You know, pearls are so precious you would want to protect them. But the same cannot be said about these pearls of wisdom that I've gained along the way. In my book, I've covered all the bases for living a life free from sexual compromise. I want you to have these pearls and I want you to pass them on to others around you. If this 30-second plug has captured your attention at all, you need to get the book Without Ruin, Pearls of Wisdom for the Triumphant Woman, written by me, your host, Berthina Jackson. Head to Amazon.com to get your copy.
Ladies, your natural instinct is to worry. You worry about your children, your health, your relationship, and everything else under the sun. It's a classic case of worry wart syndrome. If you tend to worry needlessly, you are not alone. Welcome to the She Strives With Faith podcast with Berthina Jackson. Berthina is a two-time divorcee, single mother, and war veteran who suffered from anxiety, but learned to let go and let God. Berthina will share captivating and down-to-earth conversations on how to strive by faith. Here's your host, Berthina Jackson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the She Strives With Faith podcast. How are you? I hope you are having a great, great day. I was looking outside my window, and guess what? There was snow on the ground. My goodness, it has not snowed in Maryland for a long time. And I just stood looking outside the window, admiring all the whiteness all around. And I thought, man, so beautiful. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. So I love snow. I used to love playing in snow. But at the age that I am now, I have no desire to do that. So I'm happy with just looking out the window or the screen door to see all that white stuff on the ground. And thankful that I'm not out there having to run around to go to work. I can sit at home and telework. So it's good. It's good. I don't know where you're from around the world, but I don't know if you get snow in your area. But hey, I look at it as God's creation. You know, this is something that God has created for our enjoyment. So anyway, I want to get right into the podcast. And so let me get started, because otherwise I will start rambling. Next thing you know, I've taken up way too much time. And it's just like, no, people are busy, Berthina. So go ahead and get into this thing right now. Have you read the Surgeon General warning printed on a pack of cigarettes? If you're not a smoker, you probably don't give a hooty toot. And I'm not offended, but for all the smokers out there, you are definitely familiar with the warning. Every time you spend $4 and some change for a pack of cigarettes, you know the label is there in big black bold letters. Surgeon General's warning, followed by smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy. Am I right? No judgment here. I came up with my own Surgeon General warning, and it goes like this. This episode is for mature singles and married couples only. It causes severe cases of thankfulness to God for creating physical beauty and sexuality for marriage. That's my radio voice, y'all, my radio talk show voice. Anyway, heed the warning that I'm going to give in this episode. If you're not ready to hear the rest of this, then hit the stop button on the recording. But if you're okay with the topic, then cool. Sit back, grab your water, your tea, or your favorite drink and take this ride with me. I've titled this The Hottest Couple of Their Time. Oh, yes. You see, ladies, I have always been intrigued and fixated on love, romance, relationship, marriage, and sexual intimacy. Of course, there are many other topics I could converse on, but I chose this one. And I'll let you in on a secret. I'll let you in on a secret. Yeah. So this episode is really about me, honestly. It's really about me. It's about me having what this one hot couple had. I want what they had. And you'll find out later in this episode who I'm referring to and what I'm talking about. Listen, girlfriend, I am getting ready for my divine husband. Oh, yes, it's all about me today. But I'm not a stingy person. I like to tell a good story if I think it will help somebody. And of course, I can't help but include information from the Bible. That is the source of wisdom. And the Bible tells us there are four types of love mentioned in the Bible. Storge, which is familial love. Philia, which is brotherly love that unites believers. Eros, romantic and sensual love. And agape, God's love. Eros is the one I'll be focusing on today. The word eros doesn't show up in scripture, and yet romantic sexual love is a good gift from God to human. I'll have you know, though, the greatest love letter ever written was the one from God to humans. It's called the Bible. Sadly, it is one of the greatest love letters that people do not read. But let's keep going. We won't stay on that topic. Eros is not about a man and woman bumping and grinding, rubbing their bodies together. No, no, no. Anybody that knows what true Eros is will know that it's not that. Anybody remembers the song by Marvin Gaye titled Sexual Healing? Listen, I'm not that old, y'all, but it is one of the most popular songs, and most people are familiar with it. Anyway, Marvin was feeling something in this song, y'all. You hear me? He was feeling something physically when he sang the song. He said, "Baby, I got sick this morning. A sea was storming inside of me. Baby, I think I'm capsizing. The waves are rising and rising. And when I get that feeling, I want sexual healing." Sexual healing? Okay, Marvin. I guess he was desiring the woman that he was with so bad that it made him sick. He was desiring to have sex with her to the point that it made him ill. And you know, and then I said, "Lord, what else was Marvin talking about?" Well, Marvin is talking about the health and mental benefits of sexual activity. He's referring to the endorphins that are released during and after sex to create a sense of euphoria. It reduces stress and blood pressure. Come on now. Now, don't pretend to be naive. And please don't give me that wide-eyed stare as if I'm knocking on the wrong door. We're all adults here. This is not X-rated content. This is real talk. Now let's step out the box and go deeper. Let's expand our thinking and get away from how the world views sexual intimacy. Intimacy is more than a release of endorphins. It's two people learning to give and receive, to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. I'm here to inform you. Scripture adopts an entirely different point of view than Marvin Gaye. According to the Bible, sex is all about knowing the other person inside and out and in all kinds of contexts. I was reading this excerpt on the internet, and this is what I read. The year was 1997, and the popular NBC sitcom Seinfeld released an episode called The Yada Yada. In that episode, George Costanza, played by Jason Alexander, laments about his girlfriend's use of the phrase, yada, yada, yada. And she uses it to shorten her stories and leave out critical facts. So the phrase, yada, yada, not only leaves out important facts, it also indicates that something is predictable, repetitive, or boring. It's the equivalent of sarcastically rolling your eyes and saying, blah, 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 blah. But the Bible intended to communicate something very different through the Hebrew word yada. It means a thorough, exhaustive knowledge that embraces complete mutuality and total sharing in every area of life. And I was also reading something by Gary Thomas. Gary Thomas says that marital sex can be a supremely healing experience. Totally different from Marvin Gaye, right? Now, for those unfamiliar with the name, he is an international speaker and best-selling award-winning author whose books include Sacred Marriage and Sacred Parenting. He has also written numerous articles for several prominent national magazines. You know, it's always good to save you time by telling you who these people are that I mention in my podcast. You know, it can be a little annoying when people, places, and things are mentioned and you don't know who they are. You be like, who? What's she talking about? So I always like to give you some background information. Anyway, I want you to think back to your first memories of love. I'm not talking about the love you have for a family member either. I'm talking about your first love, the first guy you loved with all your heart. And you said, I want to be his wife. You wrote it down in your book on pieces of paper. You told your little girlfriends about it. That's what I'm talking about. So take a few seconds and get a clear image of him in your mind. Was he tall and lanky, athletic, muscular, or short and husky? Did he have curly, wavy afro or straight hair? Or was he bald? What did you like about him? How did he make you feel? Knowing what you know now, would you define it as love or infatuation, which is similar to a schoolgirl crush? Did you really understand what love was? You know, my first memory was a boy from elementary school. His name was Carl. We met in third grade at Alfred A. Benesch Elementary School. Girl, he was the cutest little 10-year-old, and I thought I was in love. I also thought I must be really pretty if Carl is interested in me. So anyway, I remember secretly passing him a note in class. My friends helped with this important mission. The note said, I love you. Do you love me? Yes or no? And there was a small square box next to the yes and the no, and he had to check one of the boxes. Now, I'm not being vain or, you know, conceited, but I think I was too cute and irresistible for him to check no. So he just had to check the yes box because I was cute, y'all. And so anyway, we called one another boyfriend and girlfriend. We hung out together on the weekend when he wasn't busy doing other boy related activities. But wait a minute. You know, as I'm digging through all the memories about Carl, something struck me as not being right. Why didn't Carl ever visit me? Could it be that he was 10 years old and did not take our relationship seriously? Did he forget he checked the yes box and that he and I had an agreement to become a couple? LOL. Funny. Yeah, I laugh at it today. But you know, it didn't take me long to figure out it was a one-sided boyfriend-girlfriend thing. So what did I do? I quit his behind. And if you don't know what that means, I broke up with him, okay? Ended it, kicked him to the curb. Girl, that was not love. That was a immature girl influenced by television and books that filled my young, impressionable mind with fantasies. I can't even remember Carl's last name. That's how much in love I was. And you know what? I'm shaking my head right now. Right now. My mama called it puppy love. Yeah. But you know what? I never knew what puppy love was. Can somebody tell me what puppy love is? Listen, please send me a definition via Facebook Messenger at Berthina Celeste Jackson. Or listen, send me an email at bjegyptiangirl70@gmail.com because I got to know. Maybe somebody's got the definition of that. I just never knew what that meant. It was just a cute expression that my mama used to say all the time. But anyway, there are a lot of hot couples in this world. Hot couples, okay? They just, man, when you see them together, you're just like, wow, don't they look good together? I'm thinking of people like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, you know, Prince Charles and Lady Diana, former President Barack Obama, and the lovely, lovely Mrs. Michelle Obama. What about Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, Tommy and Lois Evans? God bless Tony Evans. I know he lost his wife last year, and I'm sure he's still probably grieving over the loss of his wife. But anyway, we need to keep him and his family in prayer. So anyway, they appear to have a great marriage. But I don't mean to bust your bubble, but none of them deserve attention in this episode. Because guess what? I'm going to take you way, 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 way back. Okay. The hottest couple back in the day was Shulamite and Solomon. Now, don't confuse Shulamite with the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings. This story right here, y'all, in the Song of Songs, is a hot, hot love story between a man and a woman who are madly in love and preparing for marriage. The story is sizzling with heat. Woo! Sizzling. Yes, this is just one marvelous example of human romantic love in the Old Testament. And like I said, it's found in the Song of Songs. This poem is a love dialogue between a man and woman praising and wooing each other and recounting the highlights of their love. My, 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 I enjoy reading the Song of Songs. It is sexy. It is romantic. It is full of passion. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Oh, yes. Shulamite says wonderful things about Solomon. She says his love is more delightful than wine. What she means is that his physical affections are exhilarating, refreshing, and a great source of joy. She was very vocal about his character. She described it as a pleasing aroma of perfumes that made him even more attractive to her. She compared Solomon's name to perfume, y'all. Okay? See, back then, a person's name represented his character or reputation. So comparing Solomon's name to perfume meant that his character was pleasing and attractive to her. Girl, but they kept their sexual desire in check. We can actually learn something from them. They didn't give in to their flesh. They didn't give in to their sexual desire. How many of us can say the same thing? But we ain't gonna go there because that's not what this episode is about. That's just to give you something to think about. I'm praying that God will send me a husband whose cologne is a pleasing aroma. And if you're not married, and I ain't telling you what to do, but if I were you, be very specific with God. See, I let God know. I say, Lord, I want my husband to be an attractive smell to my olfactory. I want him to be a man of good character who loves you. Reputable, wise, honest, a good steward of his money, a great lover, and faithful. I want to be the apple of his eye, and no other woman will have his attention but me. Ladies, sometimes you have to speak over yourself. Lay your hands on yourself and speak in faith. Know that you can have what you want. You see, God is a promise keeper, and surely he will do it if he said he will do it, because he does not lie. Nope, he does not. And while we are waiting, continue to look beautiful like you are. Take care of your body, exercise, and eat healthy, and keep serving the Lord until he sends you your divine husband. Now, one thing I admire about Shulamite, this woman was not naive. She knew her man's character was attractive to other women, but she wasn't bothered by that. Why? Because she knew her worth. She did not have low self-esteem. She was confident in who she was and what she was bringing to the table. She had Solomon's undivided attention. Okay? He was hooked on her. Okay? And Solomon found himself a good woman. Honey, honey, honey. This book is fascinating. If you have not read it, read it. It's a good read. Another statement that caught my attention in chapter 2, verse 4 is when she says, "Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers." Girl, now what do you think that means in present day language? Oh, yes. It means exactly what you think it means. In this sense, she was expressing her desire for intimacy, sex, and marriage to her lover, to her soon to be husband. Oh, yes, ma'am. She says, "Take me away with you." The passage suggests that physical desire is a characteristic of romantic love. And if it's properly channeled, it's not considered evil. Passion and desire is not considered evil. One ought to be intoxicated with love for one's own husband or wife rather than with wine, drugs, or other people. Okay, I agree with that. That's the way it should be. Now, this soliloquy is too much for me. It, like I said, is hot. It's hot. And by the way, soliloquy is a fancy word for monologue or speech. So anyway, it's eros at its best. Now, going back to Shulamite and Solomon, now this is my opinion, so don't go telling everybody Bertina said this and that and take her word for it. And no, this is my opinion. I feel the need to defend Shulamite. You see, the feelings she had were for her fiance, her soon to be husband, and her soon to be lover. Now, was it lust? Was it purely physical attraction? No, I don't think so. It was more than that. Because if it were just lust and purely attraction, that would make their relationship less admirable. You see, she loved Solomon in the purest sense and was excited about consummating the marriage. She was expressing how she wanted to be loved. And listen, Solomon was not silent about how he wanted to love her either. Okay? The beauty of the Song of Songs is that it sheds light on human love and marriage the way God intended. Now, it may seem strange at first, yet on reflection, it is not all that surprising for God to have included this book as a demonstration of beauty, purity, and sexual desire created by marital love. It is so advantageous to have a book in the Bible that gives God's endorsement of marital love as wholesome and pure. Listen, it gives me hope because I enjoy reading the Song of Songs. It is an expression of a couple's love for one another. Yet the two lovers exercised great sexual restraint. Yes. They were the two hottest couples in the Bible. Now, when I meet my husband, he will not get invited to my house. I'm telling you right now. See, I made a promise to myself. I will not invite a man to my home that I am attracted to. Now, it may sound silly and immature, but I might need a chaperone for real, okay? Because it's too tempting. It's too tempting. Lust will come knocking faster on my door and catch me at my weakest moment. I don't need that to happen. Oh, no. And then I will find myself in a sticky situation. I don't want to be in a sticky situation, y'all. But the one thing that encourages me is this. God said, "No temptation has overtaken me that is not common to man." God is faithful, and he will not let me or you be tempted beyond our ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that I may be able to endure it. You may be able to endure it as well. How do I escape? Girl, I run. I resist. I'm running for the door. Okay. When I pray for the Holy Spirit to rescue me from myself, I'm serious about that. I want the Holy Spirit to rescue me. Okay. Listen, I'm not staying there knowing full well that I could fall into a trap and compromise sexually. I'm not going to set myself up to fail. I'm not going to test God in that way. I need to take responsibility for my own actions and my own decision. And if I know what my weakness is, then like I said, I'm not inviting a man that I'm attracted to into my home. Oh, no, no, no. The truth is, we do it to ourselves all the times, ladies. We do. We do. And girl, I'm shaking my head right now. All the times I slipped into sexual sin had everything to do with me thinking I was strong enough to handle my flesh, but I wasn't. I know better now. Thank you, Jesus, for opening my eyes to see who I am, to see where my weaknesses are. And when you know better, you do better. Let me say it again. When you know better, you do better. We have to trust that God will match us up with the right one. And the right one will not cause us or push us or try to persuade us to compromise sexually. Keep that in mind. Remember that. Because there's going to, some fake ones are going to come your way. All right? And you got to be able to recognize if they're really being sent by God or by someone else. Because random dead-end toxic relationships will no longer be our portion. You and I are going to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness. Okay? And we are going to wait for our Boaz, our David, our Solomon, our Abraham, our Moses, whatever it is, all of that wrapped up into one. Okay? Because if it's in his will, if it's in God's will, he will give us the desire of our heart. So there's no need to be anxious and worried that you're getting too old. You know, none of that. None of that. Ladies, we should pray that we have the same desire and passion for our divine spouse that Shulamite had for Solomon. And that it is a lasting love. And don't give that desire and passion to just anybody. It's reserved for the right man that God sends your way. The other point I wish to make is this. Song of Songs talks about the wedding procession. Solomon and his beloved Shulamite experience the growth of their love and its intensity. Their love was like an inferno. The Bible says anyone who cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, I'm not suggesting you marry because you are burning with desire. Self-control, ladies, self-control. Use wisdom, because just as fast as you get married, you could end up divorced. Okay? It's all about self-control. Now, theirs was a growing passion, but they were patient and did not give in to their flesh. Eventually, their patience is rewarded with marriage. And guess what? There was no sexual compromise before they got married. I know y'all tired of hearing me saying, oh, no compromise, you know, no having sex, be self-controlled. But you have to be. You have to be, because you'll set up soul ties with men that you shouldn't be establishing soul ties with. I'm trying to save you some hurt and pain here. I hear a lot of times women saying, I want to test drive the car. No. Trust that God will send you the right one. And you ain't got to worry about test driving the car, because whoever he sends is going to treat you right. Okay. You're going to be well satisfied. Okay. You ain't got to go trying to figure out if it's the right one and all this other stuff. You know, is he a good lover? Is he attentive? Wait until you get married. Wait until you get married, because when you wait to get married, it's going to be mind blowing. I promise you, it will be. Anyway, after the wedding procession between Solomon and Shulamite, there is a notable absence of sexual restraint. Now, do I need to explain what that means, ladies? Well, let's just say they were having the best time of their life. Their sexual experience, this is my opinion, was electric, pure and holy sexual ecstasy, which bound them together spiritually as husband and wife. I imagine it being beautiful. Okay. Beautiful. Like, you know, 4th of July, when we've got all the different explosions going off, you know, I figured that's probably how it was for them. I'm just being honest. But anyway, let me be very clear. Sex was designed for marriage, period. Any sex outside those boundaries is sin. And despite what current culture wants us to believe, marital sex is between a man and a woman, not two men or not two women. That's it. And that's all. I don't know if you want to be married, but if you are someone who wants to be married again or for the first time, God will send your husband. And when he does, that man will see you as charming and lovely. He will see you as a lily among thorns that stands out among other women. You're going to be unique. You're going to be different. You're going to capture his eye. He will call you his darling and his beloved. He will praise your physical beauty as well as your inner beauty, so that your haters will look away in shame and jealousy too, probably. His love for you will grow in intensity year after year for eternity, until death do you part. As you wait on God to send your divine spouse, may the Song of Songs keep you hopeful. The beloved in the song encourages all those desiring a godly relationship, like the one she enjoyed with Solomon, to wait with expectation, without doubt, without anxiety, without worry. If God made a promise to you, he will fulfill his promise. Okay? Trust me, he will. I'm still a wife in waiting. Okay. So I know that in this season, this year, that God is going to give me and reward me for not compromising. So I thank God for that, that he's not a God that he forgets about his daughters. So anyway, before you go, let me ask you a very important question. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, it's not too late to accept him. God loves you, and he demonstrated agape love when he gave his only begotten son for you. The Bible tells us that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. If you are ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, first, acknowledge your sins. Secondly, believe in your heart that Jesus died for you. And finally, repent, confess and forsake your sins. If you've done that, finally, I want you to say the following prayer out loud and mean it in your heart. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins. I believe that you raised him from the dead for my justification. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now. I receive you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I give you all the glory. If you have sincerely prayed this prayer, then you now are born again. Congratulations. Yes. Welcome to God's family. Yes. Listen, I'm done. Until next time, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Keep striving with faith. Do not give up. No matter what you're facing, trust that God will keep his promise to you. Trust that he is a faithful God. Well, I love you with the love of God. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Okay, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the She Strives with Faith podcast. To hear more about how you can tap into the power of striving with faith, join her next week. If you found value in the episode, give her a rating or tell a friend about the show. Follow Berthina on Facebook and Instagram for a more personal chat. Until next time, strive to keep faith alive.
Thank you so much for listening. It was really great spending time with you. Once again, I'm Berthina Jackson, author of Without Ruin, Pearls of Wisdom for the Triumphant Woman, purchasable at Amazon.com. Feel free to reach out to me on Facebook and Instagram. I look forward to hearing from you. Till next time, Berthina.